supposed to talk, right? There should be some action by you. And secondly, yeah, that's good, right? Because that's the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we don't want to just talk about him. We want to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and do something about that relationship. Also, here's my hope is today, this isn't supposed to cover everything. This isn't supposed to be like this exhaustive experience of the Holy Spirit, because there's no way to do that. But what we hope this does for you this afternoon is prepares you for this evening. Because the Holy Spirit wants to come to you in power. And of course, he wants to come to you in power always. But we're going to invite the Holy Spirit in a special way this evening during adoration. And we want you to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit as much as you can at your place in your life right now, today, based on the tools you have, based on the disposition of your soul, based on your intention to cooperate. All of that stuff goes along with it, right? The Holy Spirit is not going to take you hostage tonight. Okay? You will need to give the Holy Spirit room to move, and he will come in as a welcomed guest and dance with the element. That good? Ready for that? Okay, me too. Third thing, disclaimer. Because I'm up here on the stage with an orange baby pool, this does not make me an expert in all things Holy Spirit. This makes me someone tonight that also wants to invite the Holy Spirit in. And so we're working together at this, right? Some of you have maybe been in the movements of the Holy Spirit, different types of environments, different communities that really access those gifts in a powerful way. And you should keep doing that, and you should share that. Okay, so this isn't going to be something that maybe enlightens everybody to a new way to pray, but I hope for some of you that this is maybe a little introductory, but also a challenge. Okay? And so let's start, and let's invite the Spirit to be with us today in a special way during this workshop that we've dedicated to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just repeat that. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. We're yours. I invite you to transform our hearts, to fill our souls, to move in and around and through the barriers that we set up, to dispel our doubts and our fears and our sins, so you can move powerfully. Permission, Spirit, this weekend to move in us in a profound way. As you move our hearts, that you will move our bodies and our souls, and they will move together in this perfect dance. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We trust you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I want to read to you, by the way, guys, it's good to be back with you. We were in here, just, it feels like couple hours ago. I wonder why. Ladies, for those of you that weren't in here, can you imagine this entire place being filled with boys earlier? Or should I say men? Yeah! They did some good work, by the way. They did some awesome work, and they're really trying hard not just to be men of virtue, but to go out on a mission to change the world by being the men of virtue you expect them to be and that they expect to be as brothers. So it was awesome to be with you guys. Ladies, welcome. We're glad to have you, the beautiful crowning jewel of God's creation. I'm glad that you're with us. You can clap for that. You know when God created, you've heard this, when God created Adam and Eve, you know, Adam looked at Eve and said, "Whoa, man." That was the first time we see her name, woman. It was, whoa, man. I think Adam said it with like a lot of excitement. So I agree that women, you are the crowning jewel of creation that God gave to us on this earth. So thank you. And I hope my wife's watching the live stream because she now knows how I feel about it. So I'm going to read this scripture passage for you. Then I'm going to do a little demo. Is that okay? Okay. So this is from the book of Romans, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. In Romans 5, 2 and 5, here's what St. Paul says. We boast in hope of the glory of God. because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I want to repeat that. We boast in the hope of the glory of God because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. So this implies that the access of God's love to our hearts is through whom? The Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit has a role in that love being poured out into our hearts. And I want to do a little demonstration, and this is, you know, just a little afternoon demo, right? And I like demos because I live with children in my house, so demos always work, you know, like if you have a drill and a piece of wood, it can do a lot of things. So a swimming pool and a volunteer can also do some cool things. So you ready? No, I already have volunteer. I already figured that out. Sorry. So I'm going to invite Molly to come forward. I probably do need a tall guy. A tall guy. Come on up. I trust you. We already talked today, too, so I trust him. He's gonna, that way I can keep talking, okay? So I want y'all to give it for Deacon Bob. But really, really, I want you to give up for Molly. So she didn't know when she signed up for Lean that this would be part of it, but this was part of it. Okay, so when I read that scripture passage about the Holy Spirit's access, helping us access the Lord's love in our hearts, it says that God has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He's poured it. And so here's what happens a lot of times. If we're not at a conference, if we're not in touch with the Lord's movement in our hearts, we tend to put up a barrier. So go ahead, Molly, and pop up your umbrella. Deacon Bob, come on over here. All right. So go ahead and click it so it doesn't close on your head. So all the way up. There we go. That didn't happen in rehearsal. So maybe Deacon Bob can help you get it straight again. So this is awesome. Well, Molly, this might not work out as well for you as you had planned. I can't wait to see the tweet. So here's what happens. You might have to hold it up. Like, don't pop it all the way up. Just make sure it doesn't collapse on you. So here's what happens. Deacon Bob's going to grab that bucket of water, and he's going to stand on that chair. Are you okay with that, Deacon Bob? Okay, so Molly, come a little closer to the edge here. And so a lot of times if we're not aware of the Lord's movement, His love is still being poured out. That's what I want you to realize, is His love's being poured out. So, Deacon Bob, go ahead and give that a little pour on top of her umbrella and see how much of this enters Molly's heart. We need some towels. Okay. So, Molly, are you okay under there? God's love hasn't touched you at all, right? Your feet are a little wet. But notice God gave her plenty of love, right? Plenty of God's grace and love poured out, but Molly wasn't ready. And I think a lot of times we treat the Holy Spirit or the sacraments like there's some sort of magic. Like, I just need to get confirmed and the sacrament will take care of itself. Or hey, once you're baptized, everything goes right from then on out. Well, that's the first time that we've been sealed and marked as God's chosen. We still have to cooperate with God's grace and love. So Molly comes to a stupid little conference. She hears this great talk on life and the Holy Spirit, and she decides to get rid of the barriers between her and the Holy Spirit. So now when God's love is poured out into her, Deacon Bob's going to give her another dose right on top of her head. Deacon Bob, she's had our permission. This is what happens. That's good, that's good. That's good, that's good. He gave it all. Give Molly a hand, give Deacon Bob a hand. Will y'all drag all of this off the stage? It's a good thing we brought a baby pool out. Man, I'm going to get that bill. You just watch. Deacon Bob, you and I are going to split that bill. You know what I love about that, though, is Deacon Bob kept pouring. I'm like, that's enough. And Bob's like, there's more. But you know what? That's actually actually how God's love works with us. We are normally the ones that want to turn it off. I'm like, that's plenty. Or tonight, you're going to be like witnessing, you know, people having this powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use these shirts. And then I'll give them out. How's that? This is going to be a little barrier. There we go. Okay. Man, I wasn't expecting this. But that's kind of what God's love does. And you know what? I think of all the ways we pray, we realize that the Holy Spirit is the one that kind of causes a mess in our lives. He's the one that moves in a way that like we've never expected before, and he gets near the extension cords. But he's the one that causes a mess, and we're not comfortable with that. We only want to give God enough permission to move in our lives as long as it's comfortable. And so my first challenge for you tonight is see how uncomfortable you can get tonight by opening yourself up even more to the movement of the Holy Spirit through God's love being poured out into your heart. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to tell you a little story, and that's about my dad. My dad introduced me to Jesus. And my dad was involved in the charismatic renewal. That's where he had a conversion, where he really learned how to pray by accessing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he introduced that to me at a very young age. And at first I was uncomfortable with it because it didn't happen anywhere else in my life, right? I didn't go to school and have people like being expressively, you know, praising God and like with using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. My mom wasn't that way. She was a convert. I think she was still a little uncomfortable with that. My friends at church weren't doing that. We were just learning everything. We weren't really being expressive and going through this moment of conversion with the Holy Spirit. So it was only my father. And so for a while, it seemed a little disconnected. Until I had this talk with my son the other day. And I want to read this scripture passage to you, and then I'll talk a little bit about it. Thanks for that, by the way. These guys are great. Give them a hand. Let me read you this passage from the book of Acts. This is on the communal life. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and the communal life. This is Acts 2, by the way. So the church is brand new, right? Jesus just went back to heaven. The apostles got their marching orders. They picked Judas as replacement. Now they're like, let's do church. So this is how the early church did it. This isn't like after 100 years have gone by and they built structures and churches and built like church bureaucracies. This is the early church, how they're actually doing church. And here's what it says. All came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. When they got together, they did things as a community. They prayed. All came upon them. They were given gifts of the Spirit. They prayed in this expressive way, not because they had all of it figured out, but because they were busy just celebrating a life new in Jesus Christ through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And here's what I was telling my son. So here my dad tells me about the Holy Spirit, introduces me. Now, just about 2 weeks ago, I'm having a conversation with my 10-year-old son. And I'm reading them this passage, and I'm reading them a couple others from Acts, where like speaking in tongues. Right? Or like they're converting people and casting out demons and raising people up and like doing all this great stuff that Jesus said they would do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And my son, Nathan, said to me, yeah, but that doesn't happen anymore. Like, I know these are Bible stories and they teach us a lesson, but that doesn't happen anymore. That happened to the apostles. And you know what I thought? How many of us actually, we might not say it like my son, but we actually believe that? Oh yeah, that happened once upon a time. Or that happens to great saints. But it doesn't happen in my life today. So I want you just to ponder a question. Will the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you in your life today with the same power and conviction and grace that it did with the apostles 2,000 years ago? And if your answer is yes, great. If your answer is I'm not sure, awesome. And if your answer is no way, then I just want to challenge you tonight to be open. Not here to change your mind specifically. Only Jesus. Christ can do that. And he'll change your heart while he's at it. And he'll change your heart while he's at it. So I want to give you a couple points here, and then I want a volunteer. A couple volunteers. No, maybe I'll have you do it together out here since there's so many of you. I'll have you do it together. So first of all, I want to just make a few things that will make the Spirit accessible to you today. Here's the claim I want to make. We all know who the Holy Spirit is, right? Third person of the Trinity, normally pictured as a dove. You know, we say it in the Creed. You know, like, who the Holy Spirit is, right? And then we know, like, what happens, like, maybe at a Steubenville conference, like, oh, man, this great gift happened to my friend, or this great gift happened to me, right? We see what the Holy Spirit can do, maybe not in our lives, but in someone else's. So we know who the Holy Spirit is, and we know what he can do. But what's the missing ingredient? Right in the middle, how do we get there? Like, how can I access that Holy Spirit to do this in my life? And that's what I want us to get warmed up for today in preparation for tonight. Is that okay? Okay, so just a couple pointers, and I want to give you something to do. So to foster a life in the Holy Spirit today, based on the book of Acts, which was the early church, and on that reading I just read to you, just a few points. Number one, and if you're here right now, I would say that you've hit number one, and that is an openness to the Holy Spirit. And maybe you showed up because your friend dragged you to this one, you didn't want to go to the other one by yourself. Just an openness to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have a degree in theology for this to work. You don't have to be the, like, you know, gold star youth group kid for this to work. An openness to the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, prayer. Particularly prayer for the outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you have to be willing to pray, and specifically for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number two. Number three, worship. Communal worship. How many went to Mass this morning? Highest form of communal worship we can do as Catholics. How many of you are going to Mass tomorrow? Highest form of communal worship that we can do as Catholics. How many of you are going to adoration tonight? An extension of the Mass, we're going to access the gifts of the Holy Spirit through the Eucharist. Amen? Yeah. Worship. Stay with the community. Worship, worship, worship. This is where, in the early church, they would say the breaking of the bread. Okay, so we're doing that again. Number four, community. If you're at a Steubenville conference, I would say community is a big part of that. But I also realize that at a Steubenville conference, there's people in your youth group that are here that still feel totally isolated from the group. They tagged along, they've never been before, their parents signed them up, they're from another church, they don't want to be here. Whatever the reason, they don't feel part of the community. And the biggest thing is that some community gets established here, because when you go home, that's really where the community is. In about 24 hours, I'm getting on a plane to go back to Houston. Hopefully it takes off on time. I'm getting on a plane. You all are going to get on buses or whatever, and you're going to go to your churches. So this group is going to break, and if you look, everybody wearing a different color t-shirt, we're all going to a different place. So that community has to get reestablished back home. And I would say for some of you that are in this specific session, it's going to be on your shoulders to bring this back to your church and to your youth group. And some of you might be the leaders in that, to help form community, to welcome the people that are there for the first time when you get back home, or to check in with each other after this trip. So community. You notice in the early church, everything says they gathered together. They had all things in common. They gathered, they shared, they communed, they had a meal. Don't stop building community. And I will tell you, this is the biggest challenge for the young culture today, is to build authentic community where you're in relationship and physically present to each other, not over Twitter and Instagram. Say, so build community. And finally, five is generosity. They gave of themselves, and so we might call this today sacrifice. So whatever way you need to sacrifice or give of yourself to the community, so being open to the Holy Spirit, accessing the Holy Spirit through prayer, worship, communal living, I don't mean you have to all live in a combine together, right? And then finally, sacrifice generosity, because sacrifice and generosity is the response to the movement of the Holy Spirit. People that give more to causes and churches have been touched more, have experienced more grace of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So here's what I want to do to help us bridge that gap today between, like, who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in our lives. I want you to find a partner. Now, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to mean like your partner's in the back row. Partner's somebody sitting next to you. And I said this with the guys earlier. that I don't want you to leave anybody out. So if it means you have to have a group of three, you can do that. But hopefully it should pair up pretty easily. If there's a group of three, maybe it needs to be on the end. Group leaders, if you can help with this so no one gets left out. That's my biggest fear, is there's going to be someone sitting in the middle that doesn't look either way to get a partner, and they miss this opportunity. So if you all could just make sure over the next about 30 seconds, you find a partner. Okay, have I got a partner? Raise your hand if you don't have a partner. Let's do that. Don't have a partner. That's pretty good. So if you don't, then make sure you tag up with another group of two, okay? So here's what I want you to do. Decide in your group now who's going to be number one and number two. And if there's a number three, you can figure that out too. So number one and number two, real quick. I went to Texas A&M so I can count to more than three, but I got 1, 2, 3 covered. Got 1, 2, 3 covered. Barely. Must be a long one. I'm also an Astro fan, but you can't say that in Missouri, can you? But my favorite player in all of baseball history was Ozzie Smith. And if you're not from Missouri, you don't know who that is. And if you're from Missouri and you don't know who that is, ask your neighbor. Okay, so first of all, number ones, you're going to have about 30 seconds to tell your partner the definition of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. 30 seconds, go. Time. Okay, and number twos, how many of you just learned something new? Number twos, how many of you want to call the Vatican and check some of that? Yeah. Okay. Number ones, how many of you have ever done that before? That's pretty good practice, probably. Okay, number twos, your turn. Right? Not the same thing. That'd be too easy. You just regurgitate what your partner just said. You ready, number twos? Here's your question. Share everything you know about the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Oh! 30 seconds. Okay, number twos, how many of you struggled with that one a little bit? How many of you reached back into your confirmation prep and got one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit because the bishop mentioned it in Mass this morning? Wisdom! Okay, number twos, how many of you mentioned some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit by name? How many of you mentioned all seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Got them all. Whoa! If you didn't, if you're like, I don't know any of them, I'll read them in a minute so you can make sure that you've got the list, but the list is less important. Okay, so far, that's just data, right? All you did is share, like, data. Did anybody just reach a great conversion through that? Did anyone just encounter the movement of the Holy Spirit in their life and they're, like, ready to give their life to Jesus because of that? Okay, just checking. Number one's your turn, or if there's a number three, you go here, okay? This is where we're going to talk more about how that changes us, okay? Number ones, you go again. How have you experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? Go. 15 seconds. Okay, number ones. How many of you have a lot of I don't know, it's hard to explain, I can't put it in words? That's okay. That's okay. The Holy Spirit doesn't move in like ideas and thoughts for us, does he? Or she, whatever the way you look at that. So the Holy Spirit comes into your life and impacts you, has an experience with you, and then you're like, I don't know how to explain that. Anybody ever been there before? Right. Number ones, how many of you was that the first time you expressed to someone how the Holy Spirit has moved in your life? Thank you for that. It's a big step. People need to hear our story. They don't need to hear our facts and concepts first. They need to hear our story. It's about relationships. And having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is what people are drawn to. And that's what brings conversion and new life and experience of grace, is through your own story. So finally, number twos, this is your turn. Or if number threes, you went earlier and there's number one in your group, you get the point, right? So the person that wasn't sharing, this is your turn. Finally, I want you to share specifically about tonight how you are wanting the Holy Spirit, well, it could be this weekend, it doesn't have to be tonight. I'm going to put it all on tonight. How you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life this weekend. And I want you to expect him to move powerfully, so ask, be bold. Don't be like, well, I'm not good enough, or well, I've never done this before, I'm not sure. Just say how you want it to happen. How do you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life this weekend? Even if you've never had the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life before, share that now. Go. How many of you weren't sure how to answer that? Like, you hadn't maybe thought about it yet. But I want all of you to think about that before tonight. I want you to all think about it. I want you to talk in your small groups about it. And I want you, even though if you weren't a number two, I want you to share with someone how you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life this weekend. Because the Holy Spirit wants to move in your life this weekend. Not just in the apostles 2,000 years ago, like my son thought. Or maybe not just how the Holy Spirit moves when you're back in your church, but it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. Now, what we don't want to do is make this experience about the gifts that we're given. We want to make it about the giver of the gifts. Because the Holy Spirit is the one giving us those gifts. We should be worshiping the Holy Spirit, praising the Holy Spirit for those, not just being like in worship of the gifts. Like, we're idolizing the gift. Like, I have to have this experience or this feeling. And some of you tonight, maybe you're going to feel let down. Like, my friend was having this, like, rock-out experience of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's not happening to me. Let's not idolize the gift, because the gifts are always, all of these gifts are given for the building up of the greater church. They're never given to you for, like, a little private gift in your room, like a little bedtime snack, okay? These are given to you to be a banquet for the whole church. Every experience tonight should build up the whole body of Christ that's here through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read these gifts to you, and I'm going to use two lists. It sounds weird, doesn't it? I'm going to read these two lists to you, because in a minute we're just going to finish our time by praying together. Would you like to pray together? Okay, we're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit in each other's lives. Now, for the guy session, I gave you the words to say, like, along with me. I'm going to challenge some of you to use the movement of the Spirit in your life to pray over your brother or your sister here too, okay? And this is just a priming pump, as we say in Texas. This is a prime and the pump for what's going to go down tonight. There's going to be a hoedown tonight that the Holy Spirit wants to control. Y'all ready to dance? Amen. Amen. Okay, so here's the gifts. I'm going to give you these two lists. Now, if you see these gifts, here's the interesting thing. One set of gifts we can read in the catechism or in the scriptures, and the other is used in the rite of confirmation itself. So some of you, I mean, it could be confusing, like, I don't know what they are. So I'm just going to share it with you really easily. Here's what I want you to do as I share them. I'm not going to define them, but these should stick out to you. Pick one or two of these that you most want to pray for tonight. These are gifts that the Spirit wants to give you if you will just ask Him. And tonight, you will access those. So let me just read you these. If it helps to close your eyes, if some of you already kind of go into that like happy place, that's awesome. I just hope the happy place isn't like the after lunch nap, right? Okay? So here we go. The one you heard Bishop talk about is wisdom. The next one is understanding. Number three, right judgment, also known as counsel. Right, judgment and counsel are used interchangeably. Okay, counsel is in the rite of confirmation. Right judgment is in the scriptures. Knowledge. Courage. Also known as fortitude. Courage and fortitude are the same. Reverence. Also known as piety. Final one is fear of the Lord, also known as wonder and awe. This isn't like you're scared of God. It's that God is so big and magnificent and marvelous that like there's this healthy fear of that which is not us and totally consuming our lives. And that's wonder and awe, like standing in awe of God. That's what fear of the Lord means. Okay? So those are the seven gifts kind of wrapped up in at least in just a understanding way, using one of the gifts names there. So what I want you to do right now before we partner, I just want you to close your eyes for 1 second. And I want you to picture those gifts as if they were like growing on a tree and you got today to reach up and pluck one of those off and partake of it. Pick out which one. Was it wisdom? Understanding? Right judgment or counsel, knowledge, courage, reverence or piety, wonder and awe. Which one do you want to partake of? Which two do you want to partake of? Just be open to the Holy Spirit. Tonight or right now, He's going to come into your heart. Fill you with something you didn't previously have, and freely give you that gift, and pour it into your heart until your heart is totally saturated that it pours out on everybody else. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in our lives, move in us. Holy Spirit, give us your gifts. Transform us. Pour out freely and abundantly. First, whoever goes first, so if like number ones go first, tell number two what gifts you want from the Holy Spirit. Or if there's something else you specifically, like maybe it doesn't have a name, right? It doesn't have it's not one of these seven. It's not like the Lord's like, I only give these seven things. Sorry, it's not on the list. What do you need from the Holy Spirit? Is it one of these gifts? And I want you to tell your partner right now which one you want. And then I'm going to ask you, other partners, to be bold right now. Just for a couple minutes to put your hand on their head or their shoulder. And just pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come into their lives. Pray for them to receive that gift. Pray for any dependence to be removed. and pray that they will be strengthened in that gift for the outpouring for the rest of the community. Just pray. Just trust yourself. There's no right words, and if you're not comfortable saying prayers out loud, number one, I'm going to like ask you to just take a step and try. Okay? And if you can't do that, then I want you to put your hand on their shoulder and say, I'm praying for the gift of whatever they ask for, and then pray silently to yourself for a minute. And here's the deal. You don't want to be sitting there on their shoulder and they're like, are you done? So I need you to say amen when you're done. Amen means end of prayer, right? Okay. So just take about 2 minutes. Number ones, you can go first. Number twos and threes, you can pray over your friend in the room. Ask them specifically. Keep praying, but number twos, if it's your turn to go, you can go next. Trust yourselves. Go there. Don't get left out if you got a group of three. You can go there now. So try to bring your prayer to a close for now. If you did not finish, please make time to do that. Even right after our time here, we're going to dismiss in just a couple minutes. Stay behind if you need and keep praying with each other. How many of you really appreciated that prayer right now? That made my entire weekend worth it, guys. I'm ready for tonight. I'm ready to see what the Lord wants to read you a scripture passage to close. And this goes back about 2,000 years when my son thought that this was a lot in the history of the Bible. But it shows how Jesus entrusted his apostles to do the same things he was doing. And this is just the next verse after the section I read to you before that starts chapter 3 of the book of Acts. Sorry that I put Harry Potter back on. It's hard for old people to see now. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, and every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. So he wants them to give money. But Peter looked intently at him. So Peter paid attention to him, made it all about him. He looked intently at him, as did John, and he said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something. But Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leapt up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple area, walking and jumping and praising God. The same Lord, the same Holy Spirit is ours today. This is the same guy we worship. It's the same guy we receive at Mass. It's the same Holy Spirit that's moving right now in your hearts. And he wants you to rise up. He wants you to dance around. And he wants you to praise God through the end of the weekend. Amen?
Amen.
So let's trust the Holy Spirit. Let's give him access to our hearts tonight. Let's be open. Let's pray. Let's go to worship together. Let's keep building community. And know that those gifts are theirs for the taking. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we come to you open and ready. We come to you broken and wounded. But we know that your love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that will overshadow our doubt, our shame, and our guilt, will transform us into the creations that you know and that you intended for our lives from the beginning. And you will send us out, Lord, to change the world in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's give the Holy Spirit a hand today.